turn to Ephesians chapter number 1. And let's look at verse number 5. And then we'll begin there this morning. The Bible says this: having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Now, if you noticed, beginning with verse number 3 down to verse number 6, that's a complete sentence there. Relatively a long sentence, amen? And so we're still talking a little bit about what's going on now in verse number 4. And here you see a word being used in verse number 5, the word predestinated. And there again, there are some who have a problem when you use that word, especially among this modern crowd today, and sadly to say, even among some of the Baptist brethren. But you understand there's nothing wrong in using biblical terms, and we ought to use them. But not only use them, but understand what they're saying. Now, the word election talks about choosing, and in election, God does choose His own. But in predestination, He determines their end. That word predestinate means to mark off a boundaries ahead of time. And I'm thankful that the Lord has marked off the boundaries. That tells me that He's got everything under control. Amen? And election deals with the beginning, where predestination deals with the end. Election is what picks you out, but in predestination, He determines your destiny. Election refers to the person chosen. Predestination refers to the end to which He is chosen. So do you understand that they go hand in hand and working together? So when the Bible says, having done what? Predestinated us unto the adoption of children. That you understand that God has marked off the boundaries ahead of time. And so it's not by accident that we are birthed into the family of God, and that we are placed as sons with all rights and privileges in the adoption. Now, that you understand then that because we have been predestinated, and because we have been chosen or elected, we also have been placed in the family as sons with all rights and privileges. And so that you understand that when He says now, unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. That you understand then that this is accomplished and done by Christ Jesus to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. So salvation, there again, lies in Christ Jesus. The election, the predestination, the adoption, all lead to Christ. So if you understand then, we are still to preach the gospel and preach Christ, Him crucified, buried, and risen again on the third day and coming back. Now, the benefits or the blessings here is this. If God has marked off the boundaries ahead of time, that means that all the circumstances that led to your conversion was in accordance to the purpose of God. And I think about all the things that God used and did in my life as I look back now, and it's a blessing to me to see how the Lord put things together. I mean, when I think about it, I mean, he sent, well, go further back than that. He allowed me to be born there in Southeast Oklahoma, amen. We were born here in America, where the gospel is accessible. It is here. Now, we could have been born in some third world country somewhere, in some jungle somewhere where no one has heard the gospel yet. But God has allowed us to be born here. God put in your family, put in your life, in your family, someone maybe that knew the Lord. Or put a preacher or a friend somewhere in your life that would come to you and tell you about the gospel, the grace of God. And then you think about your life in regards to where you could have been if God had not intervened because of the sin that you were partaking of. I mean, some of us could have been in prison right now. But God, in providence, worked everything out. When we could have gone deeper into sin and done some awful things, there was the restraining hand of God's mercy and grace. Someone said one time, mercy kept me till grace found me. And you understand this, that when you look back, it has been the mercy of God. Amen? And you understand when we talk about God marking off the boundaries ahead of time, He's in this plan of salvation from start to finish. Not only has He marked off the boundaries ahead of time to bring you to a place that you might be saved from your sin, but it doesn't stop there. The Bible says we're being conformed to the image of His Son. Then you understand then that circumstances in life that takes place in the life of a believer, God is using that to make us more like His Son. He's still marking the boundaries off ahead of time. And you understand this, we ought to take great encouragement from that. Especially when you go through difficult times. Now, I'll be quite honest with you this morning, Deborah and I probably could not deal with what we're dealing with and have dealt with the last few years if it hadn't been for the truth of God's sovereignty. If we did not believe in God's eternal purpose, that we were His possession, we belong to Him, we have been bought with a price, He has the right to do with and chooses to do with us as He pleases. And who are we then to question God? You see, God is going to get glory out of everything He does. And the best thing for us to do is just simply accept providence, whether you understand it or not, whether you always agree with it or not, and just simply know that Lord's going to get glory from it. It's for your good, for your benefit, and for the good benefit of others. And just simply resign to the fact that God is going to use you, has chosen to use you in this way. Now, he says this, having predestined us unto the adoption. Now that talks about the placing of sons with all rights and privileges. Now, we know a little something about that, and this church knows that our daughter Brandy was adopted. And when we first heard of Brandy, Deborah and I had already decided we wanted a girl. Doesn't have a boy, we just want the girl. So we knew what we was looking for. And when they brought her name up, said they had a little Cherokee girl there in one of the foster homes that had come up now for adoption. And she was 6 years old. Well, Deborah and I went to meet her. And the way the social worker put it together was this. She said, we'll go down to a neighborhood restaurant type, someplace where you get hamburgers, and we'll show up there with her, and y'all show up as a family, and we'll sit down and we'll eat together, and you get acquainted with Brandy, and she's not going to know that y'all are potential parents. We said, well, that sounds real well, sounds real good. So we showed up at the time appointed, and as soon as she walked up to us, the social worker and Brandy walked up to us, Brandy raised the question, well, are these my new parents? So what could you say, amen? She just, she already was figuring this out, that she knew that she was going to get some new parents. Well, right off the bat, everything clicked, you know. And, but the point is this. When we finally got Brandy, there was a year of waiting. Once she come to stay in our home, of course, the plan was this. We would meet with her maybe 4 or 5 weeks, once a week, you know, and just get acquainted with her, get her used to us, and then maybe let her spend the night with us and just kind of ease into this thing. Well, the next week when we met, she wasn't wanting to do that. She was wanting to come home with us, and she was wanting to stay. And so the social worker said, well, if y'all are okay with that, I said, well, we're okay with it. So, I mean, she moved in the second week we met with her. And it's been there ever since. Amen. But you see, we noticed something about Brandy that whole year long. Yeah, I mean, she was just good as gold. I mean, she was, you know, a kid and had a few problems here and there, but she was pretty good all the way along. But you know, we realized later on down the road that Brandy always had that fear that we were going to take her back and give her back. Because her name hadn't changed yet, nothing had been done yet. There was a year waiting period, and we had what they call an interlocutory decree had to be done. But anyway, finally, the year passed. And everything was all legal and set up, and her name changed to be a Johnson. And she got a new birth certificate, and on that birth certificate, it showed Deborah and I as being her parents. Her name had changed, and she realized for the first time, man, she is a Johnson. She is in this home, and we can't even give her away. What happened was this. She became a Johnson with all rights and privileges. In that sense, according to the law, if there ever becomes a problem over property or inheritance, Brandy will be at the head of the line. Amen? Even over biological children. Why? Because we chose her. We picked her out. We wanted her. Like myself, my parents got stuck with what they got. And some of you the same way, amen? But the point is this, she's adopted with all rights and privileges. She's entitled to everything that we have. Well, you understand that when the Lord saved us, He has placed us in His family with all rights and privileges. So, this morning then, if you're saved by the grace of God, then we are brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus in the same family. We all have access to the Heavenly Father. We all have access to the Word of God, the privilege of prayer. All these things are the benefits. We also have an inheritance. Christ Jesus being our elder brother, we're joint heirs with Him. So you understand then, when we talk about the adoption, God has given us some privileges as sons and daughters. In the process of this, because of Him marking off the boundaries ahead of time, He is going to mold us and make us more like Him. We're being conformed to the image of His Son. As the days go by, we're going to have more family characteristics. Why? Simply because we're in this new family. Now, it was amazing when Brandy came to stay with us, to live with us, some things about her that was characteristic anyhow about our family. But most of you know Deborah, and most of you know Brandy, and they think alike and act alike. As a matter of fact, it got real difficult there for a while being the only fella in the house. Amen? When Kevin left home and went on his way, buddy, it got tough. But you understand this, though. She's taking on some characteristics of the family. And if you get saved by the grace of God, place the family, you can't but help take on those characteristics. Do you know why it's so easy to have fellowship with you here this morning? Do you know why it's so good to be able to see each other again? It's because we're family, you see. And you understand this, that all of us here already know this, but there are a lot of places you can go now here in the United States and maybe in other countries that you have got family that when you get there, you're going to be glad that you're there. You're going to feel at home, my friend, and you're going to have something in common. You have some things to fellowship about. Why? Because you have the same family. I mean, if we wanted to load up this afternoon and go to Ohio and look up Brother Reddick, man, we could show up on his doorstep and expect supper on the table, amen? Or make him take us out. Put us up or whatever. But Brother Reddick wouldn't mind doing that at all. On the other hand, if he's to show up at our doorstep, we'd take him in, amen? And that's true with other brethren that you know. We were excited when Brother Wayne and his wife showed up in Oklahoma. And Deborah scared me a little bit because my dad was, his church is fixing to have a chalked off camp meeting type thing, and we were all working on his camp house. And it's kind of the custom there, you know, those who have a camp house, your children, you know, are expected to work and cook and whatever it's to be done. And of course, he gets all the attention, all the credit. But anyway, we were there working at his camp house, me and my sisters and my brother-in-laws, and we was out there trying to get this thing fixed up for that meeting, which is coming up the next week. And we was really working at it, and all of a sudden, here come Deborah driving up in the car. And Deborah generally doesn't get out and drive, not unless it's something important. And she drove up and honked the horn. I looked out there, and there she was. And my sister said, "Oh, Junior," she calls me, she said, "something's wrong. Deborah's out there in the car." So I went out there. She says, "Guess what?" I says, "What?" She says, "The rentals are here, and they're coming over." And she was all kinds of excited. And she said, "But you've got to come home right now. We've got some things to get done before they get." And y'all know how that is, amen? But the point is this. We were excited because they were there. Why? Of the same family. And you can sit together and talk about things. Why? Because it's the same family. So that you see then, being placed in the family is not only fellowship, friendship, all these things are there, but also entitles to the rights and privileges of the Heavenly Father. We have an inheritance. We have a home. All these things the Lord has given us. And He is fashioning us, making us more like His Son. And even though each one of us may follow a different course of life in regards to how God will mold and make us and develop our characteristics and our character and so forth, the ultimate end is the fact we're being conformed to the image of His Son. We're going to be like Him one day. The Bible says it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Then He says this, not only are we adopted of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, but He says, according to the good pleasure of His will. Question being raised, why would God even save any of us? Well, I don't understand why, but according to this verse, He does it according to the good pleasure of His will. God took pleasure in saving sinners in accordance to His will. And I'm glad that God saw fit to put me there. Now, go on and says this now, verse number 6, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Now, not only to the pleasure of His will, but also to the praise of the glory of His grace. Now, you think about it. Here we were, lost in sin on the road to hell, undeserving, had no hope, had no future. And He came and picked us out. And then He gave us the rights and privileges of being in His family. Those of us who were nothing now have an inheritance, have a family, have a home, have a future, all because of Him. And you see, that ought to be a humbling factor in your life. Why? Because all that we are, all that we have become is because of Him. To the praise and glory of His name, God got pleasure in saving us and bringing us to His family. At the same time, we ought to glorify Him. Why? Because He loved us in that way. And you see, if it ever gets a hold of your heart what God's done for you, it'll help you in the worship service. It motivates me, my friend, to go to church on Sunday morning. Why? Because I believe we ought to be at the house of God on the Lord's Day. Why? To worship Him. You see, you don't come to the house of God to serve Him. You come to worship Him. The reason why we're here this morning is to be here to worship Him. And I don't have a problem worshiping. Why? Because I know what the Lord has done for me. I don't deserve any of this, but God has been good to me. God has been gracious to me. And you understand this, and in even times the flesh may get weak or get discouraged because of circumstances. I always get back to the place knowing that God has everything under control. He's making me more like the Son of God. And God has saved me. Be thankful for that and simply learn to worship Him. Now, there have been a lot of good things that's happened out of our circumstances. First of all, we've become a little more dependent on the Lord. You say, preacher, aren't you always dependent upon Him? Not always. And you're not either. But you know, sometimes the Lord puts you in a position where you're just really going to have to trust Him. Amen? Well, we're learning a little more about dependence and trust more today than we have in the past. There was one point in time I thought, well, we kind of got that licked, but we don't have it licked yet. Amen? And never will this side of heaven. As the process says of that, we've got to meet a lot of doctors and nurses. And every time we leave the hospital, Those nurses and doctors seem to, somehow there's something, they latch on to us some way. Especially to Deborah. And she doesn't complain much and she doesn't get angry much. And those nurses seem to just enjoy coming and ministering to her. And she talks to them about the Lord and what we do and all that. It's given her opportunity to witness and share the message about Christ. We've seen God move a few mountains in our life. The other week when we found out she was going to have to go to the specialist, or over a month ago now, well, we found out our tribe didn't want to pay for it or send her. And I thought, man, you know, that's tough because we don't have the insurance. They wanted $2,500 guaranteed before they would even make an appointment for her. Well, we didn't have $2,500 to guarantee that appointment. And so we talked about it, we prayed about it. And so when I went to the hospital to question as to why they turned her down, the lady in the office there, she said, Brother Raymond, said, this is the time that you use your tribal counselman. That's what he's there for. So I said, well, I'll talk to him. And so I called him. Well, he wasn't there, but his wife said, well, Brother Raymond, this is what you need to do. Put it in writing, and he's going in the morning to the chief's office, give it to him, and he'll carry it there, and he'll take care of it, I know. So before I did that, though, the lady in the office, her boss, is a girl that I knew growing up. Her father is Josh Harjo. He's a Baptist preacher. He's the one who led me to the Lord. And little did I know that she had already seen what was going on and had made preparations to get this thing changed. And so when I called her up to tell her, you know, that I was going to go ahead and pursue using the tribal council to get this decision overturned, she said, Brother Ray, wait till Friday morning. She says, I've already got it taken care of, I think. And I'm not exactly sure what she done, but said, you call me back Friday morning, and I guarantee you, Deborah will have that appointment. Well, I called back Friday, and it was done. You see, God does answer prayer. God does move mountains. Well, then you understand then, God marking off the boundaries ahead of time. God conforming it to the image of His Son. And that's the privilege, my friend, of being in the family. He's going to take care of His own. That's the benefits. The Lord's given Deborah a doctor there, and he's a Greek Orthodox. That's what he is. I've talked to him several times about the Lord, and he's kind of a hard fellow to get to come to church. But one thing for sure, the Lord has used him to bend over backwards to help Deborah. And if you know anything about, those of you that may be veterans and go to the VA, you know all the red tape you go through on that part of it. That's like that is in an Indian hospital the same way. Well, the Lord has been good to us in that sense. So you understand this, that we're a blessed people. The spiritual blessings that the church of Ephesus needed to hear and needed to know. That God has not only chosen them, He saves them, He's marked off the boundaries ahead of time. They're sons and daughters. God gets the glory from all this. Verse 7, whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to what? To the riches of His grace. Because of redemption, not only are we placed as sons and daughters, but we have been purchased, bought with a price. We're no longer on the slave market of sin. And what, my friend, will never be sold again. But my friend, the blood has washed away our sins. And my friend, we have been forgiven. The Bible says how? According to what? To the riches of His grace. We're saved. our sins are washed away. Not covered, but they're washed away by the blood of the Lamb. And you see, that idea of redemption talks about purchasing us as slaves on the slave market, never to be sold again. So not only are we placed in the family as adopted sons and daughters, but you see, they can't kick us out. They can't get rid of us. Why? We belong to Him. And God doesn't want to get rid of us. We belong to Him. So this morning, if you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, there again, ask for mercy. One more illustration, we'll close. Sometime back, I met a young preacher that wasn't raised with a father. And that's all actually what he wanted in life, is to have a father figure in his life, but it never did work out. But when the Lord touched his heart about the matter, he was up preaching one day, and he realized that the Lord had given him a Heavenly Father. And that Heavenly Father made up the difference in his life. And he became part of a family, even though his family wasn't what it should have been. You understand this, that when the Lord saves us, it becomes real in our heart. It's not just something we're saying. It becomes real. And that relationship with Him as a father is so real that you can talk to Him, walk in fellowship with Him, and it's sweet. And He's always there. And He does make up the difference. As we all stand, bow our heads and close our eyes, tomorrow we're going to pick up with Ephesians chapter number 2. Might want to read that. In that, we're going to find exactly how this all takes place. Amen. Father, we thank You now for the Word of God. And Lord, we thank You, Father, that You have placed us as sons and daughters. And Lord, that You have picked us out. And Lord, You're making us more like the Son of God. Father, we ask now that You be merciful to those who are lost this morning. That God, that You might grant repentance and faith in their heart. Lord, that they might change, and Father, that their sins might be washed away. Father, we ask now that You'd encourage the hearts of the saints. And Lord, that no matter what circumstance anyone is under, God, we know that You have complete control of it. And Lord, it's being used to conform us to Your image. And Lord, to make us more usable for service, that You might get glory from it. Father, we thank You now for what You'll accomplish and do in this service this morning. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Pastor?